Police departments across the country have to deal with situations in which their officers confront people holding guns. It's fair to say police would like to reduce the odds of those situations developing. In Eureka, the effort takes a number of approaches. They are coordinated through Project Safe Eureka, where SAFE is an acronym for Secure All Firearms Effectively. Recent activities included a gun buyback. Let's hear more about what's going on in Eureka. Captain Steve Watson is with the Eureka Police Department and our guest on the exchange. Captain Watson, thanks for joining us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Jeffrey.
Give us a sense, if you would, of the situation in Eureka generally with police encountering people with guns.
Well, I can tell you that I've been here since 2005, and I have never seen the number of firearms that our officers are seizing on almost a daily basis these days. And in fact, since 2016, we seized about 120 guns. And about another 30 have been taken just this year alone, including 5 assault weapons.
What do you think of the circumstances here?
Well, you know, we are a rural county overall and do have a gun culture, so that's certainly part of it. There may be more guns in more homes than perhaps in some other communities. But I think one of the big problems that we're experiencing is theft. In fact, gun violence and theft were two of the top crime-fighting priorities that our department identified last year during our strategic visiting process. And so we want to try to do whatever we can proactively to reduce the number of stolen guns that are on the streets and then thus are being used to commit violent crimes such as the series of armed robberies that we've had over the last year in particular.
All right. So it sounds like a bit of a security culture trying to develop here in addition to a gun culture. You're trying to make sure that if people do own them, that they hold on to them.
Right. You know, since 2014, we've had over 213 firearms reported stolen in the city. And again, those are just the ones that were reported to us. Logic would dictate that there were many others that people, for various reasons, did not make a formal report.
So most of the firearms you're encountering and seizing are firearms that at least were owned initially in the area?
Firearms registration records can be pretty spotty, despite California's strict regulations about that. Many older firearms may never have been registered at all, and a lot of people don't bother to write down their serial numbers, and so when the guns are stolen, that information may not be entered into the system, and we won't get that hit when we recover the gun.
All right, so it really is kind of hard to trace provenance and know who held the gun at any particular time.
Yeah, we do know that we've had an increase in residential burglaries over the last year, as well as somewhere around a 68% increase in armed robbery reports last year, much of that driven by the heroin trade.
Okay, I was going to ask you, 68% increase in armed robbery, that's quite a steep boost.
You know, it is, and in particular, we've had an unusual increase in serial robbery cases where you have two or three suspects working together, hitting multiple businesses across the county, not just in Eureka. The good news is with the arrest of a guy named Rocky Keene in Knox County, Indiana last week, we're about 100% on apprehensions in our serial robbery cases during this period. We have some odd ones here and there that weren't really linked to these larger cases that are still outstanding, but a lot of times those are people that put themselves in vulnerable situations in the first place.
Is Rocky Keene a suspect in multiple robberies?
Yes, he was a suspect in multiple ones in Humboldt County, along with another guy named Ezra Williams, who's in custody.
You mentioned heroin as being a part of the scene. Describe what's going on. Are people stealing to support heroin habits?
Yeah, so that's been a common denominator in these serial robbery cases where we've had an opportunity to study the suspects or maybe even talk to them about their crimes and why they were committing them. And almost universally, heroin was a driving force. They had heroin addictions that are expensive to fuel. And so the frequency of their robberies and increasing boldness of some of them probably is a reflection of their need to score more dope to get well or for whatever reasons that they're using heroin.
Captain Steve Watson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's with the Eureka Police Department. We're talking, well, not entirely generally just about the crime rate, but also about guns and efforts to get some guns off the streets through Project Safe Eureka. Safe standing for Secure All Firearms Effectively. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760. Your questions and comments welcome there, or at jx@jeffnet.org. So obviously you have some increases in crime rates. I wonder if the rate at which you're finding people with stolen weapons is even higher than that, or if they're running roughly parallel.
You know, again, we do get a large number of hits on stolen guns that we recover, but there's many others we simply don't have the records for. We assume that they may have been stolen or illegally traded in exchange for drugs or other items. It's just difficult to trace their histories often. So what we're trying to do, there's three ways you can attack a problem like this. And again, I've already said we have a gun violence problem. We have a theft problem in our county, like many communities do. And so we had to look at a multi-pronged approach to how to try to address this issue. And traditionally in law enforcement, most cops think along the lines of impacting the offenders that are involved, identifying and arresting the offenders. But for any crime problem to occur, you got to have three major components. And it's not just the offender, that's one leg of that triangle, but you have a location and you have a target. And so a crime occurs when you have a likely offender and a suitable and target intersecting or coming together in time and space in the absence of a capable guardian. And so if you can go after a problem looking at it from that perspective, some problems you can't arrest your way out of, so you need to look at the location. How can we harden the target? Or maybe you need to look at victim behavior. What are they doing that are making themselves vulnerable? The same victim may be getting victimized in multiple locations and times by different suspects. And so part of the problem might lie with their behavior. And so that's where Project Safe comes in. What we're looking to do is to educate the public, what's one prong of that process, continue arresting and identifying offenders, which EPD is doing very well based on the number of guns we've seized, and then also, again, impacting or the location and the target of the theft by helping people to, one, be educated about the issue, two, take positive, proactive, common sense steps to better secure their homes against burglary and their firearms. If you own a firearm, you owe it to yourself, your family, and your community to own a gun safe.
Gun safes. That's one of the big efforts in Project Safe Eureka?
Yes. So what Project Safe essentially is it's a collaborative effort between the Eureka Police Department and several community business partners and neighborhood watch groups and other nonprofits. So we came together for a two-day gun and home security expo that was at the Bayshore Mall, where businesses like Pacific Outfitters, RMI Outdoors, Security Lock and Alarm, Advanced Security, Ace Hardware, there was a Brandt Electric, and some other companies showcased products and services like home alarm systems, gun safes, security lighting indoors, things of that nature that people could employ to, again, better secure their homes and better secure their firearms. And so we're promoting responsible, safe, legal gun ownership, as well as, again, practical steps people can take to reduce their chances of becoming a victim in one of their guns ending up stolen on the streets and used in a violent crime like a bank robbery.
So, Captain Watson, aside from gun safes, what are some of the other bits of low-hanging fruit just to make people's homes more secure? What are some of the things that people had not been doing that that you've been recommending they do?
Well, you know, again, it starts with, you know, making sure you have adequate security lighting. You keep the shrubbery and vegetation trimmed around your place, as criminals like to hide in the dark, so don't give them those spots where they can be concealed from view in case your home and maybe break in unnoticed. Make sure you have good locks, and surveillance systems are always nice. That's more of an after-the-fact thing, but an alarm system that's monitored is an excellent deterrent, and we'll get the police there pretty quickly, at least in the city of Eureka. And so even if a theft does occur, the likelihood that they're going to be able to take a substantial amount of your property and do a lot of damage is greatly reduced. And in many cases, they run off as soon as the alarm sounds, or they just skip that house and go to another one that seems safer for them. Because again, these crooks are opportunistic. They're very self-centered. It's a risk versus reward scenario that they're looking at.
So how successful would you say the Home and Gun Security Expo was? I mean, how many people turned out for it?
Well, hundreds, if not thousands. It was at the mall, so we have a large customer base there already. A lot of people did show up. I don't have the exact numbers, but it was quite busy, at least on Saturday while I was there. I think we succeeded in getting the word out there with the public education and information about this issue and the need to take some steps. I think we gave people some tools and ready access to some service providers and businesses where they could purchase those items for their home. In fact, there was also a number of raffle prizes and free gifts and big discounts on these products that were given by our participating businesses. Last count I had, we sold or gave away over 40 gun safes. And several residential alarm systems were installed with another large number of interested persons having their names written down for potential follow-up from those companies.
I admit to not owning a gun safe myself. I don't know how much they cost. If people don't think they can afford those, are trigger locks a good step along the way, though?
Absolutely. In fact, the law in California requires that you properly secure your firearms, keep them out of the hands of children, and that's one practical way you can keep the gun from being used against you, especially when you leave your home. It's one thing to have a gun readily accessible to defend yourself and your family when you're at home, but when you leave to go on vacation, you really need to secure those guns, and hiding them under the bed or in a closet's not good enough, as evidenced by the over 200 stolen firearms that we've had in Eureka since 2014.
You know, you mentioned assault weapons among the stolen weapons. Was one of them actually fully automatic? Is that what I was reading?
Yeah, so those weren't, and I don't have the figures on those five or six assault weapons that we've seized this year tell you right now whether or not they were confirmed stolen. But our officers did seize five assault-type weapons from criminals that were not legally allowed to own them or were using them in a crime. And one of those had been modified, I was told, to be fully automatic.
Wow. So I understand that EPD and Project Safe Eureka also did a gun buyback program a weekend before last.
That's right. So the Gun Expo was on March 18th and 19th, and then the following weekend, Friday and Saturday, the 24th and 25th, EPD hosted a gun buyback program at our headquarters. The first one that I can recall in the last 12 years that has been done here locally.
And what did you offer, and how did it work?
It was far more successful than we had hoped. Basically, we gave people the opportunity to exchange their firearms for prepaid gift cards anonymously. So there was absolutely no ID required, no questions asked. We weren't taking pictures. We weren't doing any kind of follow-up or questioning about how they came to have the guns that they exchanged. And so folks were able to come down to the department with an unloaded gun in the trunk of their car. The officer would inspect it to make sure it was functional, and then exchange it for a gift card. And the interesting thing about the gift cards is no public funds were used whatsoever. We solicited donations in our community, and Redwood Capital Bank and Southwest Rotary of Eureka, as well as one of our neighborhood watch groups, donated all the funds that we used during the program.
Was there a concern that if you had used public funds, there might have been some criticism from the gun rights activists?
Yeah, sure. And the decision to give gift cards, and in this case they were Target gift cards instead of cash, was also by design. We didn't want to just hand somebody cash that they could turn right around and maybe potentially spend on illegal substances like dope. It's a little bit harder to score that at a place like Target.
Right, exactly.
Unless they trade the card, but...
Right. Okay. Steve Watson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange from Eureka Police. You specified that the guns had to be in working order. Was there any benefit to people brought in guns that weren't working?
Well, I did some research before setting up the program, the gun buyback programs at other agencies across the country that have mixed results. And one problem some places ran into is people showing up with improvised homemade weapons or really old guns that simply were clearly non-functional. Those aren't the guns that we're worried about because they can't hurt anybody if misused. We were really looking to try to get as many of these superfluous, unwanted, neglected, improperly stored guns away from situations where they're vulnerable to theft and exploitation. And so, again, it was an opportunity for people to come in, no questions asked. And many of the guns that we received, and they were all appeared to be functional. Many of them had been stored in closets under beds in the garages and were never used, weren't really wanted by their owners. Maybe they had a spouse that passed away and inherited the gun. Maybe they'd collect them over the years and didn't know what to do with them anymore. Maybe their backgrounds were dubious in nature and they didn't have any other means of lawfully disposing of them. And in maybe a few cases, they had some illegal backgrounds. Again, we didn't ask any questions, so I don't have information about that.
So, Captain, how many guns ultimately, and will you do it again?
Well, we got 48 in 2 days, 26 handguns, 10 shotguns, and 12 rifles. About half of the handguns were semi-automatic, and again, all appeared to be in working order. And these are the exact guns, you know, we believe that were vulnerable to theft in our community and then later being used to commit violent crimes. And so they weren't necessarily expecting hardened gang members to show up and turn in their GATs to us. But we did hope to, again, get these neglected, improperly stored guns out of the vulnerable situations they're in. And I think we succeeded at doing that. And so based on the success that we had this year, I think we would look at maybe doing another one in the future.
Might some of these guns be returned to owners? I was reading some there in the material that could happen.
You know, only if we were able to confirm through a later records check that one of them was stolen, and then it would follow the process of reunifying that firearm with its owner, provided that they could still legally own a firearm. None of the ones that we collected came back as stolen, and again, that doesn't mean any of them weren't because of the way that firearms records are kept, but none appear to have been stolen based on a records check.
Okay, you have indeed been busy at the EPD. The EPD is the Eureka Police Department, which is just one component in Project Safe Eureka, which stands for Secure All Firearms Effectively. Quite a blizzard of activity. Captain Steve Watson, thanks for joining us to talk about it today on The Exchange.
Well, thank you for having me again, and I just want to end on this note. Again, we've had some criticism because people felt that this was an anti-Second Amendment type of event. It truly wasn't. I'm a law-abiding gun owner myself, love to hunt. This is just an attempt to promote responsible, legal, safe, and secure gun ownership in an endeavor to reduce gun theft.
All right. Steve Watson, thanks again.